Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm June Sims. This week on our program, we visit a camp where sports team mascots go for training. We also tell you about a group that helps cities bring new life for a day to troubled streets. And we learn about a group that helps women in Uganda earn money by selling beads at parties in the United States.
Communities often depend on drawings and written documents to describe the changes they want to make to improve neighborhoods. But a nonprofit organization called Better Block shows the public a working example of how the proposed improvements would look. It makes the changes along one block for one day.
Oh, oh, Lord, please, won't you help me find my mail? I ain't got no mailbox, y'all.
That was how an older, mostly empty business district near downtown Denver, Colorado, came to life on a recent Saturday. A street musician played his guitar as people walked, biked, and pushed baby strollers down 25th Avenue in the Jefferson Park area. A crowd enjoyed lunch along what had been an empty stretch of sidewalk the day before. One of the empty storefronts became a bike rental shop. Another was a restaurant for the day. Benches, trees, and flowers were brought in for what looked like a street festival. But there was a more serious goal, as Denver Mayor Michael Hancock explained to the crowd.
Thank you for what you're doing to help make our city great and to help make Jefferson Park a better block.
The idea for the transformation came from a national program called the Better Block Project. The program supports urban redevelopment by helping local artists demonstrate how to create a lively atmosphere. Volunteers can spend months getting ready for the short-term transformations. Gosha Kung is an architect who leads a citizens group called Walk Denver. The group is part of the coalition working to renew the city's urban neighborhoods.
2 weeks ago, these spaces were empty, and by empty I mean rats and pigeons and you name it. And today it's art gallery, a bike shop, and a restaurant.
The one-day makeover was designed to help people explore the possibilities for renewing the neighborhood. Gosha Kung says the trees, the flowers, everything was borrowed, so it all had to be returned.
This is kind of a low-budget way to create this environment without asking for $1 million grants.
The organizers also invited food trucks to come to the event. Tables were set up along the sidewalk to give people a place to sit and eat. One food truck offered different kinds of tacos. Another served pizza baked in a wood-fired oven. The festive atmosphere appealed to local business owners like Francisco Bustamante. He owns a grocery store that sells Mexican food.
I like this project. I like the party. I like the party.
Women wearing traditional rainbow-colored Mexican skirts danced in front of Mr. Bustamante's market. His family served slices of fresh mango to people on the street.
Mary Mackey has run an art studio in the neighborhood for 20 years. She also liked the day's party atmosphere. She says a lot of communities are spread out and people have to drive to go places. She herself mostly goes out on foot only to walk her dog.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get out of our cars and be able to bike and walk more places, but we're just not that dense of a population like in Europe, so it's a little bit more difficult.
Ms. Mackey likes the idea of a prettier street. She would like to see improvements that would bring more customers. But she worries that she would have to pay higher rent if property values rise. And she wonders whether the neighborhood is truly ready for a change for the better.
The trees, yeah. Benches, I don't think they would last very long. They'd either get graffitied or stolen.
Susan Shepherd represents Jefferson Park on the Denver City Council. She believes the time has come to improve the neighborhood.
And it's heartbreaking to look around and see 60% of these storefronts vacant on a regular basis. And I got here today and I am so excited because it's vibrant and there's people here and folks are walking around and talking to each other. This is exactly what a real living street is.
The changes along 25th Avenue were temporary. But architect and activist Gosha Kung says supporters are working to get full neighborhood approval for the changes.
We're working with local business owners on establishing business improvement district to raise funds and raise support to make these permanent improvements permanent.
A summer camp near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, teaches people how to act as mascots. Mascots are people who dress in costumes to entertain crowds for sports teams, businesses, and other organizations. High school student Jesse King attended the camp this summer for the first time.
I am the Wildcat. I learned a lot just about how to develop my personality. And I think that'll really help me.
Half of the people at the camp were returning campers, like Frank Vespa. He is a full-time mascot for a professional baseball team.
I would like to, present campers with the skills that I have and learn new skills along the way.
Karen Simmons dresses as a Red Robin to represent a restaurant.
I've been doing this for 11 years. It's relief and release. I work full-time for the federal government. That can be very trying and very frustrating. This is a physical outlet with a lot of physical fun.
The camp is run by a longtime mascot named Aaron Blank.
I started Keystone Mascots about 15 years ago, mainly because there was a need for people like myself to learn performance skills and have costumes that were going to be able to fit them in a more effective way.
Campers learn how mascots should behave and how they should not behave. Aaron Blank says safety and responsibility are as important as being entertaining.
Is to promote the organization they represent. Whether it's a sport or a school or even a business or a corporation, we want to be the most positive image that the business can put out into the community.
Ms. Blank wanted to be a mascot since she was 10 years old.
In elementary school, I got to wear a Cookie Monster costume, and I fell in love with the activity.
Since then, she has worked as a mascot for several sports teams and organizations.
At 42 years old, I am still being a mascot. It's addicting. I've tried to quit 4 times. And it didn't happen. And considering one of the oldest performers I ever met was 72, it might be a while before I quit again.
Aaron Blank also builds mascot costumes.
We actually build them so the whole thing is water washable.
We like to put baseball helmets in our heads. The hair, there's actually ventilation holes throughout this whole head that allow for the steam to rise out. And the same with the body.
But sweat stays inside the costume. Ms. Blank's current costume, as the mascot for a local football team, is all wet after a performance.
Oh, when I put it on, it's probably about 5 degrees hotter than outside. It's just humid. Right now, it feels like I'm in kind of a rain cloud inside my costume.
Erin Blank took her campers to a minor league baseball game for their graduation performance. The temperature was near 37 degrees Celsius, but the crowd enjoyed the show, and so did the mascots.
Eleven-year-old Madison Blanchford recently invited about 40 of her friends and neighbors to a party. It was a chance to see and buy beaded jewelry made by women in Uganda.
My grandma got me a bracelet, and that's when I really got interested in it.
So Madison started to learn about how the jewelry pieces are created. The colorful beads on necklaces, earrings, and bracelets are made of paper.
It takes about 30 seconds for each bead to be made, but the whole process takes 2 weeks.
Madison wanted to share the story with her friends. Her mother, Sharon Blanford, thought it was a great idea.
And I really felt like this was something that she could learn and grow with, and she could also lead her friends into wanting to do something that was really important and special.
The Blanfords visited the Bead for Life website and signed up to host a jewelry party.
Bead for Life started in 2004. Founder Torkin Wakefield and her daughter Devin Hibbard and a friend had visited Uganda and met a bead maker.
She told us that she loved making beads, but that she had no markets for her beads. We bought a couple of necklaces, we said goodbye, and we went on. And so we started thinking, well, why does she think there's no markets? We like these beads, and our friends like these beads. Surely that we can find a market.
Bead for Life is a nonprofit group that works to fight poverty. The idea is to help Ugandan women find markets for their jewelry, improve their business skills, and change their lives.
Devin Hibbard says thousands of women in the United States and around the world have organized Bead for Life parties to sell the beads.
We came up with this idea of a bead party, which is a woman taking beads to her community, to her house or her children's school, and sharing the beads and the story of the beads and the women who make them.
The organizers say that last year, 3,000 bead parties worldwide raised $3 million. They say the Ugandan women are paid first, and the rest of the money is reinvested into education and community development projects in Uganda.
Then this particular woman, she started a sweater business. She put a solar panel on top of her shop to charge cell phones. She has chickens out back. She was able to begin several businesses, and she's now employing people.
Stories like that inspired guests at Madison Blanford's party. The jewelry party raised about $1,000 from the guests. It also raised their awareness of people in a faraway country.
Brianna Blake produced our program with reporting by Shelley Schlender, June So, and Faiza El-Masri. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm June Sims. You can find videos about the bead parties, the Better Block Project, and the mascot camp at voaspecialenglish.com. You can also read, listen, and learn English with our programs and activities. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.